Today's scripture reading comes to us from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Jesus said to the disciples, "Stumbling blocks will inevitably arise, but woe to those through whom stumbling blocks come. Those people would be better off thrown into the sea with millstones around their necks than to make one of these little ones stumble. Be on your guard. If your sisters or brothers do wrong, correct them. If they repent, forgive them. If they sin against you 7 times a day, and 7 times a day turn back to you saying, 'I'm sorry,' forgive them." The apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Jesus answered, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Uproot yourself and plant yourself in the sea,' and it would obey you." This is the word of God to us. Amen.
Today is World Communion Sunday, and I'm sure all of us have experienced communion in different ways because many of us come from different traditions. In the church where I grew up, we had communion once a month, and it was called pew communion. So we sat in our pews, and the ushers would come by, and they would put a tray, very much like our tray that's in the middle, through the pews, and there would be a little square piece of bread. And you'd pick up that piece of bread, and you'd wait till everybody in the whole church had their piece of bread, and then the pastor would say something, and then everybody would eat it at the same time. And then likewise, a whole tray would go through all the pews, and there'd be these little bitty cups. And we would all take a little cup, and you know, some people would, some of the kids too, they'd drink it before you're supposed to. But we'd all wait until the pastor said okay, and then everybody would drink it, and there was a little bitty hole in the pew in front of you for it to put that little cup down. And that's how I grew up, having communion. It wasn't until I got to church camp that I got to experience intinction, which word documents do not recognize that word and will always try to correct it, but it is a true word. There is such a thing as intinction. And intinction at church camp was very much how we have communion here at Church of the Open Arms. You got to go and take a piece of Hawaiian sweet bread, which was so yummy, and dip it into the grape juice. And this is one of my favorite ways to have communion because it has the most opportunities for laughter. So often, you might lose your piece of bread in the grape juice, and then some people don't know if they should, like, scoop it out with their hands. Some people leave it in there, and you got floaters going around. Sometimes you have Catholics who try to take the cup from you because they want to drink it. And it's just hilarious, and I love joyfulness during communion. Our churches, Church of the Open Arms and Cathedral of Hope, we have communion every single week. We have communion every single week. When some churches only have it once a month, we have it so often because for many of us, we were denied being able to come to the table in traditions that we came from. And so when these churches were founded and were started, we made a statement by saying no one will ever be excluded from this meal, from God's table. In fact, we're going to have every opportunity to have communion together to show that we are one. We're going to have it every week. And this table and this meal is going to be open to every single person, no matter what. That is our tradition here at this church. Our meal is not a full meal around our communion table. We don't have, you know, macaroni and cheese and chicken and hot dogs and bread and everything that we're going to have outside afterwards as today. But it's a symbol. Communion is a symbol of our unity. A few weeks ago, I had talked about our First Nations, our Native American persons that were in the building during our No Dapple press conference that was a few weeks ago for the water protectors. And one of the women, she spoke about this word relative, which I just love in First Nation belief. Oftentimes I might say, fill out your pew pad so we know who our brothers and sisters are. But I like that word relative because it says so much more than us just being brothers and sisters with each other. We have all types of relationships in the human family. But when we talk about relatives and this meal reminding us that we are all related, we're all relatives, it also reminds us of the ways in which this meal came to our table. The bread used to be wheat, and it was connected to the rooted relatives in our world, the plants. The water that was used to nourish the wheat came from the sky, our relatives. The sunshine that fell upon the wheat and helped it to grow are also part of the ways that we are interconnected. The little creepy crawlers and the microbes that aerated the soil helped out and are part of this meal as well. The little creatures, the insects, which helped to pollinate the flowers on the grapevines before the fruits could grow, are all part of the way that we are interconnected with the meal that we eat, the way it becomes part of our body, and the way that we are connected with all of nature. We're also connected with each other, with our human family. And this communion meal is not just a symbol that we are connected, it is literal. In 1936 was the very first World Communion Day, and it happened in the Presbyterian Church. After that, it caught on, and people started to do it every year, and they always did it on this Sunday, the first Sunday of October, ever since then. So ever since then, we come together and we remember that we are all relatives and we are all connected through this meal. The word communion comes from the word commune. And I wanted to look that word up in the dictionary this week, and so I did. I typed it, I Googled it. What does commune actually mean? Well, I couldn't look up the word commune because it would only tell me the word commune, and I learned a lot about hippies this week. So I learned that commune and commune is a group of people living together, sharing possessions and responsibilities. When I lived in Berkeley, we called that co-opt living, living cooperatively. But if you look into our scriptures, when the church was being formed, it looked a lot like hippies. The book of Acts says that all the Jesus followers were living together and sharing with each other what they had. And that's where our definition of commune or commune and communion comes from. Our text this week has a lot in it. One of the commentators that I read this week took the opportunity to say that this text is where Jesus emphatically declares in Scripture that size doesn't matter. The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, and Jesus says, "The smallness of your faith doesn't matter." He says, "You can do a lot with very little." Throughout this gospel, the Gospel of Luke, we find those all throughout this gospel that we would expect to have very little faith. But these persons are often upheld as examples and exemplars of faith. Within the Gospel of Luke, there is a woman, a so-called sinner, who pours ointment and kisses Jesus' feet. And to the dismay of the Pharisees, Jesus not only forgives her of all of her sins, but also says to her, "Your faith has saved you." In this gospel, he says the same thing to a blind beggar who wants to see again, to a Samaritan leper who comes back to thank him after he has been healed, to a woman who touches him in order to be healed of her hemorrhages. He says, "Your faith has saved you," to all of these. And when a Roman centurion goes to great lengths to have Jesus heal his trusted servant, Jesus exclaims, "Not even in Israel have I found such faith." Faith means having trust, confidence, and commitment. So one person with just a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust, a little bit of confidence, and just a little bit of commitment can do very big things. You can do a lot with just a little. A few months ago, one of my church members at Cathedral of Hope had a regular practice of volunteering at the Oklahoma Regional Food Bank, which is where we get all of our food for our food pantry. They come and bring the truck every Thursday. And so this church member said, "I would like to schedule a day for our church to get together and volunteer on a Saturday morning." One person. Many months went by, and we scheduled it when it fit into the church calendar. And two Saturdays ago, we had 10 persons come for 3 hours. And we actually packed bread, which is so appropriate for World Communion Sunday. And I noticed that it's the exact boxes of bread that are brought here because everything is interconnected. And in those 3 hours, those 10 people packed enough bread to feed 9,500 persons. You can do a lot with very little. One person who I've spoken about today, Callie Johnson, had an idea and a desire within her heart to feed us today for our monthly potluck, to bring us all together, absolutely, to invite everyone in the neighborhood, our food pantry clients, ourselves, all, to have a benefit for our food pantry. One person. You can do a lot with a very little. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to go somewhere that I had heard about but had never been to. It's called Church Under the Bridge. I have a church member who plays the guitar there for a church service that happens. And I met this woman named Sky. She, one person, had an idea 5 years ago that there should be church beyond the church walls and that church should be taken to the community. I got there and I saw a couple trucks and some trailers that happen every Sunday. They pull up underneath the bridge at Villa and I-40, Reno and Villa. And the underpass there is very different than other underpasses because there's a large swath of grass. And all these folding chairs get unloaded and a sound system gets put up and the chairs get stacked like in a church. And tables get put up. And as I sat in the back row, I could see church members starting to come. And different churches from all over the metro area volunteer to bring the food. So they had cheese and sour cream and tortillas and bread. They were going to make tacos that day from Wesley United Methodist Church. And the church people bring the food and they serve it and they bring the church. They bring the message and the music. And people just started coming in by foot, by bicycle, by skateboard, getting dropped off. I watched it happen. And they have church every single week underneath I-40, no matter what the weather is. From one person, you can do a lot with very little. Today, I mentioned we had our special Neighbors in Need United Church of Christ offering. We are part of a wonderful denomination, the United Church of Christ. And 5 times a year, we have a special little offering envelope in our bulletin. And for churches who take up all 5 offerings, you get a certificate and you get called a 5 for 5 church. Both of our churches are 5 for 5 churches. And every time throughout the year, the special offering is for something different. Today, it's called Neighbors in Need. And this is a way where our denomination is able to help on a wonderfully global scale. Not just our local communities, which we do so well, but together we can do so much more. Our Neighbors in Need special mission offering supports justice and compassion throughout the United States. So one-third of all the Neighbors in Need envelopes that are turned in today from all the United Church of Christ churches, one-third of those go to support the Council for American Indian Ministry in our United Church of Christ. Two-thirds of all of our Neighbors in Need offering goes to Justice and Witness Ministries, and these are ministries that local churches put on for justice and witness. You had an insert that told you about some of last year's recipients for this offering. I looked up some other recipients and stories of the ways that this offering money gets used. I read about one that I saw myself with my own eyes when I lived in the Bay Area. One was called San Francisco Night Ministry. It provides middle-of-the-night compassionate, non-judgmental pastoral care and counseling and referral and crisis intervention for anyone who's distressed in the middle of the night. And that happens a lot, especially in San Francisco. I read about Voices, which is an 8-week leadership training program to help low-income people find their own voice and advocate for themselves on the issues that are important in their lives. With just a very little, we can do a lot. So the question for this week is, what little faith do you have to work with? Our world has been designed in ways so that something very small is able to be planted and grow into something very large. To grow any tree or flower or fruit or vine, all you have to do is plant something very small called a seed. So we plant what we have and we watch it grow. This past Friday, I was at a vigil, a Black Lives Matter vigil, planned by our own Cherie. And it was a vigil for Terrence Crutcher. This small organization, which many people are joining, has come together. And in that sanctuary at East Christian Church, East 6th Street, issues were lifted up from within the community where compassion is needed in so many areas. With just a very little, we can do so much. Denny read our contemporary reading for today. The end is such a beautiful message. And we will become bread for the hungering world. And we become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing. And everywhere will be the feast. May it be so. Amen.